Film Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin, and today I'll be discussing History is Made at Night from 1937, starring Charles Boyer and Gene Arthur, and directed by Frank Borzage. Alright, some behind-the-scenes details about History is Made at Night from 1937. This film has been noted by critics for its blending of genres, including comedy, drama, and romance, as well as introducing elements of suspense and disaster films in its final act. And another behind-the-scenes detail, the Hindenburg is mentioned as successfully completing its transatlantic trip. This movie was released in the USA on March 5, 1937, The Hindenburg disaster occurred on May 6, 1937. Alright, so those are some behind-the-scenes details about the film History is Made at Night. Now I'll get to my thoughts on the film itself. So the plot? I give it a 1 out of 5. I did not like this plot. You know, I don't like the setup of it at all. It kind of felt a little non-existent. I don't like the characters and their arcs or anything like that. I don't like this idea of, you know, Charles Boyer, he's kidnapping, right? His real intentions are he's trying to save the girl from the crazy husband. I don't know, though. It just felt a little weird to me. You know, like, at the end of the film, she's like, when did you fall in love with me? And he said, when I first took you in the car. And, terrible French accent, I'm sorry. But, like, you know, it's like, wait, after you kidnapped her, before you told her who you were? I don't know. It just felt a little odd to me. I didn't like this dynamic at all. I did not like this story. And it just felt so all over the place. I mentioned that many praise it for its blending of genres. I just didn't see it. To me, it felt all over the place. It felt jumbled. I don't think it really transcended well between those different genres of romance and suspense and all that. Because, like, at the end of the film, you know, after all this crazy stuff, I'm like, wait, what is happening right now? At the end of it, they try to shoehorn in this kind of feely moment, you know, with the ship, you know, crashing into an iceberg. Kind of reminds you a little bit of the film I reviewed earlier, Titanic 1954. I know I'm not talking about the 97 one, 54. Looked very, very similar, little boat hitting the iceberg and whatnot. So then they start playing Near My God to the... At first, I was like, wait a second, is this a Titanic movie? Is this a film that's secretly a Titanic movie? I was not expecting that at all, because I don't know if anyone remembers, but I think it was last year, I reviewed a film, San Francisco, and I didn't realize that was about the 1906 earthquake that happened there. So I was like, is this another one of those situations? But no, it's not. It actually takes place in the 30s, and they talk about the Hindenburg, so it's like, well, of course, it's in the 30s, right? But I was like, hey, wait a second. What is this movie? I don't know, man. It didn't do well with me. I wasn't a huge fan of the plot, and that's why I gave it a 1 out of 5. All right, so talking about the acting, I gave it a 2 out of 5. You know, I think Charles Boyer and Gene Arthur are fine. I think they're fine. Nothing terrible. It's just, I don't know. I just couldn't believe their romance or their relationship. It just was too quick, even for, like, a romance movie. It was really, really quick. Like, in one scene, she's freaked out by him because she got kidnapped by him. And then in the next scene, they're dancing and now she's in love with him. It's like, what? Like, all this romance happens off screen. Then the rest of the movie, they're just kind of chasing each other. It's like, what is this movie? I don't know. I just felt the relationship they didn't deserve, in the sense of, like, they didn't earn... The film didn't earn that trust with me. Like, I felt like that romance was not earned. I felt like we should have saw more than one scene of them getting to know each other, trying to, you know, fall in love, whatever it is. I don't know, man. I didn't like it. Clive Owen, he's fine, too. He's in the Frankenstein movies in the 30s. I think this was one of his last films, because he died not long after this. So, no, it was just a weird film. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Dark Journey that I saw a couple of years ago. It's the one with Conrad Veidt and Vivian Leigh. Not similar plot-wise, but similar tone of film. Where it's like, these actors, they should be good. I've seen them in other films where they're really, really good. And it just, for some reason, it just doesn't work. At least for me. It did not work. It did not connect with me. I did not like a lot of it. So this is going to be an interesting review. And so those are my thoughts on the acting. Now, talking about the directing, I gave that a 1 out of 5 as well. I just did not get it. I don't understand what Frank was trying to do here. It just felt like he got a bunch of genres, threw them together, turned on a blender, and then just spewed this out as the film. I wish there was a consistent, you know, genre that he was going for. Because, you know, the old saying goes, if you're trying to please everyone, you end up pleasing nobody, right? Because you're trying too hard. I just think they should have focused on either the romance or even disaster. I'm not sure. It's just so many. The comedy didn't work with me. Just too much of it. I was like, this is a weird film. It is a very strange film. I didn't mention this in acting. I'll mention it here. Charles Boyer, there's a scene where he talks about how he has a lover named Coco and he lives with her. It's like, what? What are you talking about? And he draws on his hand a weird little hand puppet thing. It was really strange. I was like, what is going on? It reminded me of Fun and Fancy Free from, I think it's 1947, so a decade later, where Edgar Bergen kind of does a similar thing. Now, I like Edgar Bergen. You know, I'm a fan of Charlie McCarthy and all that, but yeah, that was very strange too. So seeing that kind of thing again, I was like, this is weird. This is weird comedy. I don't like this. That's why I gave the directing a 1. All right, now talking about cinematography and special effects, I gave it a 2 out of 5. And I think this is probably the highlight of the film. You know, as much as I thought that boat, you know, disaster was just totally out of nowhere, total tonal shift. It's like, what is going on? The ship model looked cool and, you know, hitting the iceberg and all that scary and the disaster and the boats and all that. It was believable. I mean, I thought it was fine, but it was just so, the tone of this movie just throws me off so much. I just did not like it. I just did not like this film. And the rest of the cinematography is fine. Nothing too crazy. I don't know. I don't understand what they were going for here. Maybe someone in the chat could tell me below, because this film, I may have to give it another go. It just did not sit well with me. I was having a hard time with it. Alright, so now talking about the music, I gave it a 1 out of 5. Now, the reason is, not because the music is terrible per se, it's just the use of the music. So, that scene I've mentioned a lot with the ship and whatnot, and hitting the iceberg, they start singing Nearer My God to Thee. And now, whenever I hear that song in a film, I get a little emotional. It's one of my favorite hymns of all time. And I was sitting there, I was like, no. No film, no movie. You do not deserve this sentiment for me. You do not deserve to do this kind of scene with me. I don't know, just to me, it did not win me over with the relationship, with the storyline, any of that. So when that was in there, I was like, no, this does not fit. This is not, no, I do not accept this. I guess I'm being a little crazy, but yeah, it just didn't work for me. And this is so frustrating. This film is so frustrating for me. Just, I wanted to latch onto something to like, and I just had such a hard time with it. But back to the music, though. It's nothing spectacular, and just the use of that song just felt so unearned, like the relationship and everything else in this movie didn't feel like it fit. All right, so tallying that all up, that brings my Letterboxd score to 1.4 out of 5, which I'm rounding to a 1 out of 5. You could probably already tell, but would I recommend this movie? No, I would not recommend this movie. This is a terrible film. It is all over the place. I don't understand at all how she fell in love with him. It makes no sense to me. It's such bizarre circumstances how they end up together. And it's not even done in a comedic way. It's done in a very serious way, which kind of made it funny too. I don't know. I just did not like that. Now, my understanding, Charles Boyer was French-American. So I think he had a French accent. I don't know. It seemed a little fake to me, but I think he did have an accent. At any regard, I had a hard time taking him seriously, too. He was just a little over the top for me. And just the whole Coco thing was just so weird. It was so bizarre. I did not like that at all. It's like, very strange. Again, remind me of Fun and Fancy 3, and anything that reminds me of Fun and Fancy 3 is not a good sign. I did not like that movie either. And just that Titanic-like ending, I did not like either. It's like so out of the blue, so out of nowhere. Again, I didn't feel like it was deserved. Just all around, I did not like this film. I think they should have just stuck to the romance story. Totally cut out that entire sequence at the end with the boat and all that. I don't even know if that would have saved it or not, but I think just focusing on one genre, one type of thing, would have been much better for me. It was just so all over the place. But let me know your guys' thoughts below. Maybe you love this movie, and let me know why I'm wrong. I just don't understand. This is not just a random movie, though. Like, this movie is in the Criterion Collection. It's beloved by many people. I think it's on AFI's top 100. I don't know if it was top 100 films, but AFI recognizes it. You know, it's like, it's just such a weird film to me. I don't understand it. I don't get the excitement behind it. But let me know down below what your guys' thoughts are on it. All right, well, those are my thoughts on History is Made at Night from 1937. Thank you so much for watching and listening to today's episode. Make sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Really Old Movies, where I discuss details about the week's particular film. New podcast episodes are released Saturdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music, and Mondays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on YouTube and Rumble. All right, thanks again for watching and listening. This has been Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin. Take care.